Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from 1 John, and you can remain seated. 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 7 through 12, continuing in Jesus' name. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing on your word today, every day henceforth. We ask that, Father, you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. Amen. For thousands of years, the Israelites would pray continually. They call it the Shema. And in this prayer, they had the quotes that we find even in Deuteronomy. And really it comes out and it says, "Hear us, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might." To bring out this love is so important that they prayed in behalf of this each and every day, actually twice a day. And we turn around in the day and age that we live in, and we say we pray without ceasing because the scripture indicates to us that we should do that. And praise God if we do. But do we pray for love? Really, the word in Hebrew really brings out a very broad spectrum of love. We could find it throughout the Old Testament. You have your parental love, there's no doubt about it. We see it with Abraham and Isaac. You have your brotherly love that you see, even with Jonathan and David. You have actually your group love, where a group of Israelites loved David so much. And you see a love of loyalty that it speaks about in the Old Testament with the king of Tyre. Loved David so much. Had this relationship with him that he helped Solomon to build the temple. So love can take on many different facets. But the one thing that I think we can see if we look at it in its full understanding, love is not just a word, it's not just a feeling, it actually gets moved to an action. And that's what this text really brings about. When we turn around and we consider what the Advent wreath really brings to our understanding, we have a hope. And in that hope, we have a peace. And in that peace, we have a joy that lives. And in reality, in that joy, we have the ability and the responsibility to love. We know the center white candle represents Christ. All of this operates in and through Christ. We cannot do it without him. And that's kind of one of the greatest things that you bring about. So you turn around and you understand you have this hope, this peace, this joy to come to this love. But now, how do we love? How can we, in all honesty, enter into this world, enter into our relationships, enter into strife situations, struggling times? How do we love? In and through him. The same chapter, verse 19 says, we love because what? We teach it to our Sunday school kids all the time. He first loved us. God poured his love out to us. We can see that so exemplified in the New Testament. It's found in the Old Testament, even when we erred in the very beginning. He made an offering. That was love. He didn't seek to destroy. He didn't seek to get rid of us. He sought to show a path. We see it in the New Testament. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. We all know it. We all rehearse it. But do we hear it? Do we actually feel that love coming out of that text? God loved you so much. He gave His only begotten Son coming forth for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. That whoever would receive or take on or believe, have faith. I don't know what your description of it is. I don't know what definitions are to you. But do you know that Christ died for you? This text opens up. He says, beloved. Notice how that is. Instantly opening in with His love towards us. He doesn't say, hey, you guys. Hey, you strangers. Hey, boyka. Whatever you might say. He opens very strongly with, beloved. You are loved. He says, let us love one another. Let's go together in this mutual love, this encouragement, all centered in and obviously by Jesus Christ. So he says, let us love one another. He says, love is actually from God. This is a gift that God has given to us, this ability. That's why I think it's so amazing. Sometimes we look out into this world and we have a tendency as human beings to look negatively. Look negatively at this, and I didn't say it. One person always gets the, you know, blame, right? Because you say negative, and then you can add another word after it, Nancy. She don't like it when I say that. So, but you know, doubting Thomas, poor Thomas, he got the bad rap for being doubting all the time, but we all forget that the rest of them were doubting too. But we have a tendency to be negative when we look out into the world. And we have a tendency to see nothing but the negative. We see the darkness. And then we say, does anyone even understand? Does anyone know God? And then we see an act of love. That is from God. The adversary is not mimicking this stuff. They might not even understand. They may not fully understand they are being an ambassador of God. They may not understand that they're acting in His behalf for someone else. Because it's not about them. It is about love conquering in this world and entering out into this world, even in the darkest places, to bring some sort of hope, to bring some sort of assurance, to give some sort of help. We turn around and we talk about the commandments and we can go back to John and we can quote and we can say, well, what is it to the greatest of the commandments is to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And we go to the aspect of loving our neighbor as ourself. We often will think that that's actually only a New Testament understanding. It's not. God showed and He operated in through love all throughout the whole Old Testament. And He also commanded His people to even treat those around them with love. It's a very interesting thing when you turn around because God shows and proves Himself in and through His actions continually. He says, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. To have this commitment. It's kind of very interesting, especially if we fast forward it all the way up into the New Testament times, and if we turn around and we understand as believers in Jesus Christ, we can actually see that God has loved us. He has given us unmerited favor, which is grace. And then He calls us to be an example of this. Did God love you? And I'm not saying you were ever separated from Him. I can't gauge your lifestyle. I can't gauge what's happened. I know one thing. I was. So I'll pick on myself. Did God love me then? Yes. He loved me so much that He allowed people in my life to encourage me, to strengthen me. He allowed people in my life to show the example of His love, which is actually quite foreign to me at the time. And so now we turn around and we understand if God had loved me that much, even though I was separated, in my opinion, by my own frailty, by my own selfishness, by my own will, and God still desired for restoration and relationship, why can't I show that to others? Now that I know Him. Now that He has been revealed to me, why could I not show that to others? We talk so much about systems. We talk so much about pomp and circumstance and what should we be doing, how we should be doing it. In reality, we are called to love those in this world, to encourage them to see Jesus the Christ, that we would be that light. Jesus says very plainly, we are the light of the world. He says we are the salt of the earth. He brings it out in this understanding of that receiving what He has given, now that we would be implemented and empowered, not by our own abilities, not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that gift given to us. He says, because in reality, love is from God. He says very plainly, whoever loves actually has been born, has received. This is not by their own hand. He says, so now, if you have this ability to truly love someone, and this is not the Hallmark candy love, I don't know how else to say it. It's dying to self. Dying to my own opinions, my own thoughts. Yes, standing firm on the Word of God, which is in reality love, because it's brought out to bring salvation. But it's not about me. You can't even tell me you don't feel that as a parent. That you would be willing to do what it takes to encourage your children, to strengthen your children, to be there for them in and through all these situations. In a healthy parental lifestyle, that's what we desire, isn't it? I'm not saying we're always good at it. Sometimes we still drop the ball. But then that's where their love comes back. Where they love us in spite of our fallings. He says, the individual that is born, that loves, is born of God and knows God. He says, and this is the interesting part. He says, anyone who does not love actually does not know God. He doesn't have an understanding of who God truly is. And too many times in our life, or at least in my life, I've had a tendency to put my judgment in certain situations above and beyond what God would call for. Because I have my ideas. Pastor, this sounds too free. It sounds like we are to love no matter what. Of course we are. I think it was kind of interesting because C.S. Lewis brings this up in one of his books. I talked about it in Bible study once, that Mere Christianity. He talks very straightforward. He says, I have a hard time, he said, because when I came up with the statement, when people come to you with the statement of love the sinner, not the sin, I always wonder, well, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin? And he says, and I realized one day, I do it every day. Because of the man in the mirror. I love myself. I want to preserve my life. I love what God has done for me. I want to, in reality, live this life. I don't always agree with everything that I've done. I don't agree with everything I've thought. I don't agree with all the actions I've had in my life. That's for sure. But I have a love. If I can do it for me, why can't I for others? If God has so opened to us this love that He's poured out into our hearts, and He has given us this unmerited favor, and He has shown us that in reality, in spite of who I am, I love you. Why can't we do it for others? Maybe sometimes Jesse wants to put too much of himself in there. He says, if you don't love, he says, in reality, you don't understand. And that's what I want to say more or less. You don't understand who God is. He says, in this love, God was made manifest among us. Now, do you talk about paying the price? Loving beyond merit, if you want to say it in that way. Because, Jesse, are you telling me that we need to enter into this world and just love people? Yes. We are. And I know at times this can be difficult. It's easy. If I turn around and I look up in that top balcony up there, there's a lot of people I love. Especially Steve Posary. You guys may hear a little shriek out of a child up there, and maybe sometimes when Mark's trying to read, I'm not saying this, but it could be irritating. To me, it's joy. And all your grandma and grandpas, you know what I'm talking about. When I was in Painesdale, when I was in Alston, I'd love to hear a child shrill. Because there was none. But the fact of it is, it's easy for me to love people in this congregation. It's easy for me, in reality, to love my family. But what about those? Those that are actually out there protesting against things that I don't like. Going against what I believe. Can I still love them? It doesn't mean I cave. I love how Paul brings us in the full spectrum. When he deals with the children of Israel, he turns around and he explains that he had been beat basically to death on many occasions. And he still turns around and he makes this statement, "My earnest heart's desire for the children of Israel is that they would be saved." That's all he cared about. That they would know the love of God. He says God turns around and he actually shows his love. Not waiting for us to smarten up and to get our acts together and maybe to honor him. He says he made his love manifest, revealed amongst us because he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live. Have you ever thought about that? God loves you personally so much that he sent his only son into this world. This is a little vague here. He was anointed as the Messiah, the sacrifice. He knew what that meant. He would die in your place. He would pay the penalty of the sin debt upon a cross. And there wasn't a single person in the audience saying, "Take him down. He's innocent." Even the ones that thought he was innocent said, "He's innocent. I find no fault. I find no fault. I find no fault." I said it three times because he did three times. And yet he still makes a big moment and he says, "I wash my hands of this. Do what you want with him." Because he was afraid for what? His own position, Pilate. His own position. Nobody was seeking to take him down. But God made his love known in this great gift, in this sacrifice. Well, if Christ can do this, and he dwells in us, can we not love someone who cuts us off in traffic? Can we not love someone who doesn't think as I do politically? Can we not love the person that says I'm wrong? Or do we got to tiptoe around every situation? He says, God sent. This is an action that we see here, John 3:16, no doubt about it. Because love is an action. He says, so that we might live through him. In this love, he says, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the payment. Do you hear that division there? Really what he's saying is there was nobody standing on his side. Nobody was cheering him on. Even it didn't make sense to even his apostles, his disciples at the time. Peter is the one that said, "You cannot die." Nobody understood God's plan. It wasn't because we had it figured out, because we loved. It's rather that God loved us. That to me is amazing. Because that's what the Christmas season really brings in. And Mark was absolutely right when he brought in the aspect of Good Friday and Easter. Because in all honesty, we get so romantic about the Christmas season, we lose sight of what it meant. That God gave us salvation by paying the penalty of our debts. And that's really what it says. God loved us. He sent His Son to be the payment of our sins. Praise God. Everything in our life is brought to this point of we need to work to pay, to do, to gain. Our goal is, in all honesty, to owe nothing in the end before we die so we can leave everything to everybody else. In this area, we didn't even die. And He paid it for us. But He calls us into death. But this death is even spiritual. That we would die to our own ways, to our own thoughts, and we'd enter into His rest. That we would be secure in and through Jesus Christ. He says, God showed His love to us, that He sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. And then He comes back to the main point. So if God did this for you, can you do it for another? Christmas season is wonderful. It has a lot of joys. But it's not about perfection. It's not about my performance. It's not about what I can earn or how I can get appeasement from people by giving great gifts. Christmas season in reality is the acknowledgement of what God has done for us. He gave us His Son to be the payment for our sin debt. Understanding and knowing this as a believer, he comes back to the point of, if God has done this for you, can you also have this same love for another? To be an imitation of Christ. We often pray that, Lord, allow us to be imitators of Christ. That means to love. To have compassion. Desire to help. To want to encourage. He says, listen. He says, no one's ever seen God, and actually, really, no one's ever seen God and lived. But the point of it is, he says, if we love one another, he says, then actually, you've had a glimpse. That's what I'd like to say this brings out. No one's ever really looked face to face at God. He says, if we love one another, you've had a glimpse. God abides in us, and His love is actually perfected in us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we oftentimes want to say, maybe you don't, I don't know, I wish I could just see God. You see Him in the actions of His believers if they are loving one another. How is this all done? We love because He first loved us. This is the only way that we can have that hope, peace, joy, and love, is to be centered on Christ Jesus. As we enter into this Christmas Eve and as we enter into this Christmas season, may we remember there is no greater thing than that love that comes down from heaven. In the form of this child that we celebrate. But ultimately, 33 years after we celebrate this, turns and gives His life for you and I. But is not left there in that death, but is a conqueror over hell, death, and the devil. That we can have victory. That we can be empowered by that Holy Spirit. That in turn gives us the ability to enter into a world to be the salt, to be the light, and to love. There is no greater thing. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your word. Father, we thank You for Your word. Even in its correction, it still brings forth love because You desire for restoration. We pray that you also would be with each and every one of us as we go home this afternoon, and that you would be with us as we continue to celebrate this Christmas season. Father, personally, I'd like to say thank you for all those that have traveled here, that you have allowed them to have traveling mercies. They've made it safely, and we pray for all those that will be traveling throughout this season. We pray that you'd bring them home safely also. Father, most of all, we pray everything we say and do would bring you honor and glory. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord, make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.